Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 12.
Gary, could you pass us a Bible, please, from your vantage point? Left-hand side of the
room. We got to put a little, we need a little Rutledge bookshelf right there.
Sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
I guess that idea wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm. Didn't fly.
Deuteronomy.
Okay. What we are doing is taking an extra amount of time to get ready for Passover, right?
I guess.
And so, ignore that comment.
Oh.
Passover is a celebration of the exodus from the kingdom of the earth into the kingdom of God. It's typified by Israel leaving Egypt, which is always an eternal type of the world, and going someplace else. The reason that this mystery of God is so incredibly simple, yet so mind-blowingly difficult, is because everything about the kingdom of God is massively different than the kingdom that you've grown up in. And so again, the idea now is exodus, and not sinning, as it were, with a cart rope, dragging all of the baggage back from the leaving of the world into this new kingdom. And that's really what sanctification is about, is getting rid of all the crap that's still in the temple. So we're having a spring house cleaning or spring temple cleaning, and we're starting in the winter because our houses are kind of messed up. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, it tells us a little bit of what to do when we get to this place. So it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord thy Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. You shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so, or any of these things, unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all of your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come." Okay, so you got to see this. From the day of your self-awareness, you have learned how to exist in the kingdom of the earth, or the kingdom, what the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness. And in order to survive in this kingdom, you've had to, you know, learn all the systems and rules, and even how to think and how to process information. So we just read about Josiah's Passover, which said was the best ever. That what we just read is what he did, right? So let's now look at Isaiah 28 a minute.
It's wild that that's the very first thing it talks about, rather than that. You know, here's the things you're supposed to do. Boom.
Boom.
Get rid of all the idolatry.
Okay. Isaiah 28.
That word utterly always gets me.
Means utterly.
So, big word.
It's a big word.
Hey, Isaiah 28.
He's turned right to it.
Right to it.
You must be getting. You must be learning from Ronnie.
Hey,
I sense Gary was over here a lot waving today, walking with him.
I guess we have to go. We have to start in verse 1. "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are the head of the fat or successful valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Now the wine of Ephraim, and you can easily look it up, the wine of Ephraim is the wine that you get drunk on in the kingdom of darkness. It's the only thing, it's the only way you can survive the kingdom of the world. You must be drunk on the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-realization. You are drunk with self-realization, so that, and once the self-realization there is there, you're wanting to better or wanting to get or wanting self, then your eyes are holden. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can only see this mystery of trying to better yourself or get to the land of Goshen, if we're going to use the world's. So everything that you do, everything you think about, even your innermost, even your most private relationships, are based on the wine of self-seeking. So you make truces, so you don't have conflict. You structure your life to avoid conflict. And the whole process becomes one of drinking. But you're drinking the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-seeking. And so you get drunk. And when you get drunk, you throw up, you vomit. And watch. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under foot. So this strong wind, this strong thing that's happening, its function, and the strong wind is always the Holy Spirit, the strong wind is trodding underfoot all of these things, the self-seeking that you've been doing. Remember, Paul said the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit, and the spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh, so you cannot do the things that you would. And all of this is happening so that your Jerusalem, your Jerusalem is your mind. That's where you get your rules and behaviors, and you had to have, you're the high priest in that, because you're the one that offer the incense and you carry the incense. But you don't know it, you've got 70 other little priests up there carrying each one with his own censer, and they're all your little gods. They're all your little telling you what to do. And every one of them is trying to be successful in this new kingdom. And God says every single one of those little mothers have to be destroyed. So you don't think about, because if you're thinking about the mystery of God, the only thing you can do is enhance those guys up there that are carrying the censers. That's why repentance is the only key. Emptiness is the only key, but you can't empty if you're still worshiping. Got it? Anybody understand? I mean, not understand what I've said thus far. This is seminal.
This is the Baal worshippers.
All of them.
Yeah. And they all think they're worshiping God and doing a good thing.
And you are, your identity is Jezaniah. That's who Gary is. That's who Sue is. That's who John and Carolyn and all of us are. We're really Jezaniah, the son of Saphon. Remember in Ezekiel 8? Each one with his own censer in his hand. And the 70 elders of the ancients. That's why there's nothing new under the sun. But watch. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. This glorious beauty that you imagine, you consider yourself in a different situation. Oh, I'm going to make this, and this is going to happen, and then, my God, it's going to be great. I'll just kill Oli, and then my life will be simple. Or whatever your thing is. which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. Well, that's a whole other world. I don't feel like going there right now. That's what you do. I mean, that's where you're getting your sustenance and satisfaction, is instead of eating the flesh of the Son for sustenance, you eat these harebrained ideas that are just they're just air. And you get, oh my God, just this great idea that I've got now. Or you do it, the best way to see it, in sexual fantasy. You have some kind of sexual fantasy and you imagine this situation that your own peccadilloes require, but you never, you always stop at the climax. You don't wake up with her the next morning. But it's the same issue is all these good ideas that you have, these solutions. It's all sexual from this standpoint. And that's what we're going to see in the groves and the pillars. All right, watch. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue or the remnant or the seed of his people. Remember, the first chapter of Isaiah said, except the Lord of the Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, had left unto us a seed, we should have been made. In other words, we deserve to have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you don't see that that's your rightful, you can't be a victim. How can you be a victim? Oh, there's this lawyer that's really bugging me. Or this. That means you've returned to the kingdom where you're down here. You return to the wrong kingdom. Okay. So in that day, the Lord is, it says, is the only diadem. The crown of glory. The only crown of glory. None of this other crap. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. What strong drink? Again, it's what's called strong drink here is wine, but wine that's then been, what do you call it, distilled. So, huh? No. It's distilled wine, which becomes brandy. Isn't there?
No, brandy is a fortified.
Anyway, but it's more and more distilling of or fortified, whatever you want to call it, of regular wine becomes extremely. Then you're really, now, this is when you get to be in a leadership role or you have some modicum of success, then your regular little wine of self-seeking becomes all-consuming. You get drunk out of your gourd, and anybody with the discernment of a gnat can see it. But you think, my God, look at me, I'm as God. I'm good. I'm special, so whatever I think, I can say God and I have been having a discussion. Blah, blah. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now the reason that all of the tables, and this is not just talking about some little place over in Israel, this is talking about the entire world. Because everybody is eating that which has already been digested and found to be lacking, but you find it you because your parents teach you to do that. So you got a value system, you got an idea, my kids are going to be successful.
And it seems like you're having a good time, and then
you're drunk.
Go back and look at the scene of the party the next day.
Right. Like, but the next day may be too late. Is this communicating to anybody? But it's, who then? The question. Okay, we got all this crap going on. All tables are full of vomit. We got a bunch of drunkards full of self-seeking all over the earth. And then the question is, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For until then, precept must be... Now, this, what we're going to talk about now is universal. It's been this way since the fall of man. And with every man that has ever lived, every society, this isn't some kind of... This is universal. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's what happens, right? That's how you learn. That's how you learn to write. That's how you learn to do anything. That's how you learn to do anything. If you tie, I can remember when my dad taught me to tie my shoes. It seemed like it took forever, but I remember when I tied my shoes. My God, I got really drunk because I was really super. Now, I know this human nature well enough to know that every one of you have had a series of drunken
shoe tying.
Whether it's tying your shoes or getting an A or not getting caught or whatever it is, it's just a drunken orgy. And that's what the human race does. That's what we're not to do, because now we, our sustenance doesn't come from all that crap anymore, because our ears have been circumcised. We can hear. We've seen the end of all things. I pray.
The truth is that they're not getting any sustenance anywhere. They're throwing it all up.
Right.
And it's never getting
any. So, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That doesn't mean you're going to run around speaking in tongues. It means that it's something that there's no possibility of under the human race to understand. Now watch. To whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing." Yet they would still not hear. And in the verb tense, it was after so long a time, after eating so much vomit, after going through this crap over and over and over 100,000 million times, there's still, and he's always been saying, "This is the rest. This is the refreshing." But you, no. Because, but the word of the Lord was unto them. First of all, it was everything. Now it's the word of the Lord is unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. I know what we're going to do. I'm going to go solve all my problems by I'm going to study the Word of God. And all you do, it gets worse. But you have to act like it's good now, because now you're with a bunch of other actors. Remember? Now, the little beast has grown two little horns like a lamb. And these words are nice Christian words, but he's still speaking with the voice of the dragon, the beast, because it's still predicated upon this self-seeking and the acting and doing everything in the universe to hide your pathological aloneness. Here a little, there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So that you might see the end of all of these things. This systemic way of being. Now, can you see that? This is just the introduction. This is the predicate for what Hezekiah did, and what we just read in Deuteronomy was to be seen. What? What? You.
Think I have something to say?
Yeah. No, I'm just calling on you because I...
No, I just said that because I really didn't want to say what I was thinking. I was just thinking something. It's about me.
Oh, shock.
Yeah. If it had not been for my drug addiction, I never would have seen any of this. And I never would have seen how I do it even when I'm sober.
That's right. That's why your drug addiction was for our benefit. That's why he was God. He's in all things. God has wrought all our works in us, as long as they're shared. But to privatize them, God help you.
In fact, talking about speaking in tongues, it's what it was. It was the Assyrians who were going to come speaking this weird language as God's chastisement. That's how he spoke to them. And the response is repentance, and that's the rest.
Amen. Okay, so one of the first things they destroyed, we're going to just one of the first thing that they destroyed in both in Hezekiah and what Deuteronomy said is destroy the pillars, right? And all the engravings on the pillars. Now, most of these engravings come from the fires of Molech. And the fires of Molech are the idiotic value systems our parents taught us on how to live. How to be successful in Babylon is really what they taught us. But they had to. That's all they knew.
You know, Gary, we've had lots of complaints in our letters section about your I just want to pass it on to you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for laying down your life on that issue, John. All activity from the Father, from the beginning of time, has moved from thought can we put away this now for a minute? This is very important for you to understand what we're going to
explain pillars.
Huh?
Explain pillars.
Well, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, I had an idea.
That's what I'm about to do. If you turn the goddamn phone off.
Goddamn phone's off.
That's why I leave my phone at home.
I knew I could trust you, Ronnie. I knew you could be depended on.
Well, Harry didn't have a phone.
That's thank God. This is going nowhere. We'll continue this. The pillars, I promise you, the pillars and you and the basis of our sin is this idea of thought, word, and deed. Because thought, word, and deed belongs only to God. And yet we've apprehended it, so we see ourselves as God. So we have thought, word, and the deed. And that's those pillars. The pillars are so massive, it looks like a forest, a rainforest in your mind. Because it's the opposite of this moment of dependence. And so you have to see that every one of those times when it was thought, word, and deed was only getting drunk on the wine of Ephraim. There is absolutely no value in it in the new kingdom because now it's the Father's good pleasure to give us all things freely. And again, that's why the kingdom of God, the preaching of the cross, can't happen unless you're a loser. That's why Paul said of his people that we are the offscouring of all things. But as long as you continue in this process of you have the thought, ha ha, and then you think, then you're showing yourself you're as God is, and you're still setting yourself up in that temple, proclaiming and showing yourself that you're God. This is why for 30-some years, I've made fun of your ideas. Because you can't. And I said, most of what I've said this morning, I've said before, but it didn't penetrate because it wasn't the right time, apparently. But we're just beginning on now on pillars. And what mind talk and what all this has to do with trying to recapture what Adam had at the fall, and all that is illegal. Because that means if you recapture everything he had at the fall, then you're still fallen. So trying to resurrect the latent power of Adam is what man does. That's what you do. You do it by discipline, or by study, or by memorization, and all of it is a mortal enemy of faith. Because that which does not proceed from faith is sin. So we'll continue on. See, I remember when we used to study until dawn, and so we. No, I mean when we started at 5 or 6 the night before. But this crap about being on a schedule.
Do you remember to tell Sue that we were the off guard when she signed up?
If she didn't know that by the time she got here, she was. She has to have 3 more cups of coffee before you can talk to her. Take it, big guy.